I don't know what the word.
That was crazy.
But anywho, we are finally here, everyone. Before we get started, please like and share the video. This is the platform where I call it keeping it real. We gonna talk about everything. So I introduced the person as how I met
him. Okay.
The reason why I'm doing this is basically I've always been known as the connector to connect people, you know, products and all of that stuff. Whatever needs to happen, I'm usually somewhere in the middle. So I came up with the idea, especially during the pandemic, that people need hope, people need faith, people need to put their products out here. People going through different situations where, you know, they lost loved ones. They're going through different situations in their life. And here I know people both in 9-to-5 jobs, people that was in the military, people in the music industry, people in the church. And we're going to keep it real. Mm-hmm. We're going to be straight 100 with every conversation that we have, every person that I'm bringing on. This is what we're going to do. We're taking our hats off. Not you, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really talk about issues that's going on. Struggled, how we overcame them, all of that.
Okay.
Stuff. So, to let everyone know, tonight I am on right now with the Marcus Divine. Now you have to say like Marcus Divine with the in front of it. He's always been on Humble Street, I must say that. But he's not just a regular person. Like, this dude is a musical genius. Wow. Seriously. The first time I met Marcus, I knew Marcus before I actually met Marcus. Like I said yesterday about Andre Bell, I knew of him. I knew who he was before I actually physically met him. Marcus, I knew of him for years, but I had never met him until, I want to say 2016, 2017, yeah. Downtown Riverdale. So, I noticed he was on stage practicing, and I'm like, looking, oh my God, that looks like Marcus Divine. And, you know, the husband at the time, he like, who was Marcus Divine? Like, are you kidding me? You don't know who Marcus Divine is? And so I go up to the stage, and I'm like, excuse me, are you Marcus Divine? He's like, yeah, I'm Marcus. Starstruck. And he like, nah, you ain't got to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then I said something to you after you guys smashed, backing up 112. Yeah. Afterwards, like, he was like, you want to take a picture with me? I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, yeah, I'm just a regular person. Yeah, take a picture. And so we downloaded all these pictures. I sent it to y'all. And it's been love ever since. Every time I see you at different venues, it's been the same. Like, you know, don't put me on no celebrity, whatever. I'm just Marcus Divine. A couple of times I went to the studio and I sent some stuff to you. He was like, yeah, you know, you dope. Like, when you record.
Right,
stuff,
you never like, follow through, though. We'll talk about that, though. We'll get into that. Because you got some dope stuff, man.
So I was like, okay, so Marcus Divine said the stuff that I wrote, I sung, like, is dope. Like, okay. So, like I said, he's always been humble. Shouts out to and congrats to your marriage.
Thank you.
Just got married recently.
I saw somebody else got married too, I think, didn't they? Congratulations to you.
Thank you. I'm trying to remember.
I just found out today.
You got married after me or before me?
Mine was September 6th.
I was right after you. Mine was September 18th.
Wow. So you just got married too. You newly, newly wed.
New
Hey, I just
ways.
found out today, though. I didn't know you were. I'm looking like, oh, this a different. I was
What?
like, this is a different picture. Because you got to understand, I haven't seen you since your first husband, your other husband. I haven't seen you. When I saw you was with the girls or something. I didn't see you with nobody. So,
We was at okay, so we was at PJ's wedding for
concert,
the
yeah,
weekend.
right. So I haven't seen you with nobody until I saw the pictures. I'm like, oh, somebody else newly. Okay, dope. Congratulations, man.
And the funny thing was, before the pandemic happened, remember I invited you and your fiance to the wedding, and then we had to switch everything up.
I remember
Yep, so that's what happened with that. So yeah, I got married right after you
Wow,
did.
man, dope.
Yep, so with that being said, how long have you actually been in the music business? Like, how long has it been?
30 years.
Oh, you that old?
And I'll be 50 years old next year.
What? Wow. That's crazy.
I'll be 50.
So 30 years in the music business. So you could say, not necessarily so much about the pandemic, but what has been the most changing part of the music business?
It constantly changed. That's a long, that right there, that's a 3 or 4 hour conversation in itself, you know what I mean? Whether it's the technology of it, the way it moves, the way you can promote yourself, like it's constantly changing, and if you're not on the beaten pulse of it, you'll definitely be left behind and stuck, you know what I mean? Being in it for 30 years, one thing about it is I'm blessed that I've been relevant for 30 years. Like, you know what I mean? My phone still ring, you know, so I'm grateful for that. But yeah, just I think the biggest change was Apple and, you know, that type of thing. Steve Jobs giving people the ability to pick which song they wanted to buy as opposed to buying the whole album. You
Album,
know what I'm trying to
okay.
say? Like when you could pick the song, just say if I spent $100,000 to create a record, but everybody's only buying one song off the record, then I'm never going to get my
Wow.
money back that it took me to create the record. So when he took the gave people the option to pick which song they wanted to buy, it made us lose a lot of money.
And you know what? I never paid attention to
Yeah, I
that.
always say
Because
Steve
now
Jobs
you
killed the
have,
music business.
wow. I never paid attention to that. Well, I'm just thinking as the consumer. Now I will say there are artists that let's go back to, because you R&B gospel,
I'm
right?
music.
Or you
I'm
are
music.
just music. Okay. So there was at a time period when I really was into, music as far as R&B is concerned, there were a few artists that I felt every song was worth buying the whole album. And that, you name it, Luther Vandross is definitely one. Like, there were several albums that every song was a hit. And some, I can say on some of these, it's like, I don't know. It's like hit and miss.
But I think, like I say, it's the way the music business is set up now. Everything is microwave now. You know what I mean? Everything is instant. Instagram, like you could play Sunshine, like I got a record coming out at such and such a date. Two scrolls up, I'd have forgot you got a record coming out because now I'm looking at the next person's record coming out. Like, you know what I mean? So technology really changed the game. When you bought Luther Vandross' record, you didn't just buy the record, you literally bought the process. You bought
Process.
the whatever he was going through at the time. It takes a life to create a record. People don't understand when you create a project, a serious project, you create a life. Like there's a story that's being told if you actually listen. We don't do that nowadays.
Right,
people go in, they put out, like Chris Brown. I love Chris Brown, but Chris Brown put out an album with 49 songs on it. His album be having a whole bunch of songs on it. You're like, what are you doing that you can put out that many records? You can't be attached to that many records. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
So was it like he was holding on to it?
Not when you put out records every year. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, 12 songs in, I really don't want to hear no more. You didn't play, they all start sounding the same.
Sound the same,
yeah.
Right.
So.
Okay, I get it. So we're gonna come back to music, but let's talk about this marriage.
Let's come on, let's jump in.
So how has it been since, of course, we both got married around the same time. So how has it been being married, I would say in the pandemic? Because some people, I got a lot of skeptical people during getting the wedding together, which was kind of like a headache. I changed venues several times because of the pandemic. Who would be invited, who couldn't be invited. You know, that it was very stressful to the point where we actually decided to go back to the beginning where we first met. Some people don't know, he was my neighbor when we were kids.
Oh, wow.
My first crush was my
husband. Ooh, that's dope.
Yeah, so we went back to the beginning and got married in his mom's backyard.
I like that.
So how was that? I seen pictures, I seen videos of the wedding. So how was that for you?
Honestly,
guys?
One of the best situations ever. And I'm not just saying that, you know. And I could be, we're going to be 100 and I'm going to be transparent. I never thought I would get married again. This is my second marriage. Like, I never thought I would get married again. You know what I mean? But something about her, like, I'm going to be with her the rest of my life. So, you know what I mean? She deserves to have all of that, you know? But as far as the wedding itself, I didn't stress. And that was our thing. We used to say every day, even when we came to a row, we'd be like, yo, we ain't stressing. Even when it came down to the guest list, the way I pick my people, if you didn't know her full name, you wouldn't on my guest list. A whole lot of people got mad. Like, really? You got married and you ain't let me know?
Right.
I'm like, you don't even know her middle name.
Right.
You don't
right.
know her last name.
Right.
So if I got to cut my guest list down, it's going to be the people that were very instrumental in me and her relationship. And that's exactly who was at my wedding. And there was no love lost to nobody else, because if I could have 400 people, I would have loved to have 400 people. But that wasn't the case in the time that we got married. So it was like I had to be strategic. In my wedding, I put up a post. I don't even know if you saw it, sis. It was, if you were invited to an event that your spouse couldn't go to, would you go? And everybody started,
no.
Right. So everybody started saying no. That helped me weed out the people that I can invite to my wedding. Because I may know you, but like you, I know you. I don't know your husband. So if I got to cut my guest list in half, you're invited because you're attached to me. I don't know your husband. There's nothing against him at all.
Yes,
but,
right.
But people
right,
was
right.
like, if my husband or my wife can't go, I ain't going. I was like, I love you, but I know not to invite them. I know not to invite them. I know not to invite them.
Right.
So it helped me weed out the people on my guest list.
That was, I think we went from when we first, because actually I was supposed to get married in May.
Okay.
And that was, you know, really the beginning part. And the courts were shut down.
Mm.
So we had a huge list at first. And it went down to right at 100 maybe. And then with us being outside, it was cold that day. It was really windy that day. And a lot of people didn't show up, but they, you know, they still gave, they still, you know, blessed us, which was cool. And it helped out because at the end of the day, if I would have had more, I would have ran out. And so, as we may say, you know, we plan things and then God got something totally different in idea of what you're talking about. So it worked out perfectly.
That's how I feel. I woke up the next day. We talked. I said, it's beautiful not to owe nobody a dime. I woke up. It was beautiful. I'm talking about hotels paid for. Like, everything worked out incredible. We didn't owe nobody nothing. So we literally started the next day of our marriage good. Like, you know, not trying to figure out how we're going to take care of this and how we're going to take care of that. Everything was paid for. And what's funny, these paid for it. In the pandemic, I was on tour. We was in our third week of tour when COVID hit. So the money that I was planning to spend on the wedding got shut down. But good thing I had started selling my glasses, and that took over, and that literally paid for everything.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, we don't know. We just got to be obedient. Like, you already know how this works. Like, when God starts talking to you about stuff, don't be asking him why and how and all this. Just take the step. Take the leap. Who knew that this was going to happen? Now you got income coming in. Outside of...
But that's how I think anyway, though. Like, you know what I mean? I'm always doing something. You know what I mean? Always.
And that's good. That's really good. Met, was she at Riverdale's that day? Was she at Riverdale's that day?
Mm-hmm. When I saw you, because I saw you during the show or before the show?
You saw me before the show.
So after the show, when I saw you, she was there. Her and my daughter was backstage. So you never got a chance to meet her. What's funny, my ex-wife and my other kids was there that day, too. It was the craziest thing.
I remember, I want to say, was your son there that day?
Yeah.
Because I think I met him.
He was standing near me during the show when I saw you.
So if I go back to the pictures, I think I do have a picture of you and him together, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
But, you know, like I said, who would have thought? Who would have known?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's always been straight love wherever I stay.
All day.
And the crazy thing is, when we went to PJ Morton, what shouts out to him. Oh my God, I still talk about this to this day. One of the best concerts I've ever seen in my entire life, both in gospel.
Yeah, he killed that day.
I ain't never seen nobody that can take a regular secular song
in church like that
and take you to church. It was people behind me, next to me, shouting on.
I knew what you were about to say. Because he did that for about 20 minutes.
Yes! And then came back and finished it. Yeah. Like, drop the mic, just pack up and go. Mm-hmm. Like, he killed me.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I'm like, the odd thing about that, I had bought my friend that I was with. It was for her birthday. And I'm like, we got to go see PJ. And when we went, I'm looking, you know, sometimes I'm just a watcher person. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking and I'm like, that looked like Marcus Devine. And here you are at the very front.
Because I had been there all day. I was there with him earlier. So I had been there all day. So I was really tired as hell. By the time I saw you, I was exhausted. But I didn't want to miss the show.
Right. You know. He was like, come here. I said, look, come on, come with me.
Right.
Ain't no seats in here. You got to stand up. And she's short. Mm-hmm. So it was like, girl, if you want to see, you better come with me. And when they took the picture, somebody from the stage was taking picture. We are in the front.
I never saw that. Okay.
What? It's on his page.
Okay. Yeah, I never saw that.
It was, matter of fact, it just came up for our anniversary. If I see it, I'll send it to you. You're right in the front, and I'm right behind, like,
right
behind
you
with my phone, taking pictures while they're taking pictures of us. And that was so dope. So what, going back to the music and the people that you know, the ones that I have talked to so far about you all say the same thing. Like, you're humble, you're about helping people. Dre talked about you a lot yesterday. About, you know, you gave him a chance.
That's my heart.
And you see how he is.
That's my heart.
And I think it's cool that even with what you do on a regular basis, you always got that listening ear for, like, not so much the next artist, but just music in general. Like I said, I've been to the studio. Mm-hmm. I've heard some of your tracks. I've seen your lives of you putting out your own music as well as what you're working on. So I commend you over, I haven't known you 30 years, but what I've seen and what I've heard from you has been 100% great, great music. People are not going to invest in you or take a chance on you, bring you on the road if you're not about your business. Like I told Dre, it's very important that we perfect our crafts. And, you know, you hanging out with Q from 112.
I'll be with him Tuesday. I'll fly out Tuesday working. We going to be together.
Crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, working with 112 and writing on their projects and, you know, all the other people that you guys have toured with, it speaks volumes of not only you, but you represent Detroit too. So, you know, I will say, like I said, shouts out to
you.
And so what is the process that you go about when it comes to saying yay or nay when it comes to the music?
When you say come to the music, what part of the music? A music director, production, what part?
Let's go with all of it.
It differs. If it's an artist that I know that I'm not going to get along with, I just say no. I'm not available. I'm too busy. My whole process in this business has always been I'm a man first. You can be the biggest artist in the world. Respect is number one with me. You ain't never gonna holler at me like I'm your kid. You ain't gonna never cuss at me and disrespect me. And my money should be there all the time. So anything else, I'm good. I'll figure it out from there. But long as those things are good, I'm straight.
So what about an introduction to a person, like say for me, if it was me, and I was like, Marcus, I want you to hear this, and what do you do to take away from the music or to improve the music and say this is a hit or it's not a hit?
It depends on what needs to be taken away or put in. You know, you've been around. You sampled your material and your stuff with me. You know, I give it a honest listen. My whole process is this. I want to always give people what I want them to give me. Like if you ever come up here and play a record, I will allow people to talk during your record being played. I don't care who you are. You can sell not no records, or you could have sold a million records. This is your work. You want people to respect your work. So when you sent your music to me, I told you what I thought about it. I gave you an honest opinion. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, pay me this and I'll tell you what I think about your music. You know what I mean? I think everybody should have somebody or be able to get an opinion. Because that's all it is. I could tell you, yo sis, I don't like that. Just because I may not like it, don't mean it ain't good or it's not a hit. It's just like, I don't like jazz. Like, but people, musicians will be like, you don't like jazz. I'll be like, no, nah, like, you know, that's just me. But I know good jazz, you know what I mean? So if you let me hear a jazz record, I could listen and go, oh, yeah, that's hot. That's dope. I can give an ear, but I don't, that's just not my thing. So that's my process. I give everybody what I'm getting, and that's your undivided attention when I'm giving you my heart. Because when I play a record for you, that comes from me. That's my heart. So when I'm giving you my heart, I need you to be quiet and listen to my heart. I wish my mama was here. She'll laugh because every time I play something for her, it never fails like clockwork. She got to ask a question. And every time she do, I stop the recording. Like, she like, what? I'm like, you talking. She's like, oh, you right. So I'm real funny about that.
So did you start music playing instruments or were you singing? Which one?
Singing.
Which came first?
Singing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start playing.
Did you start in the church?
Oh yeah. Listen, I'm what you would call, well, I was what you would call a bona fide church boy. You know what I mean? You know, I grew up in church, spent most of my life in church. And even though I don't do church now, I don't knock it from the standpoint of helping me be who I am today. Like, I think being in church is what helped me be who I am musically. Because I tell people, because quartet music is actually one of my favorite musics, quartet gospel. Like, people don't understand. Like, I love R&B and quartet. Those are my two top things.
What? Yeah,
like, praise and worship is cool. But that ain't, like, I love quartet music because at the end of the day, quartet groups sing everything. They'll take an R&B song and turn it into a quartet song. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yes.
Being in that world helped my improv skills because you walk into church, they don't have a bass player. You may not even know the song. But they'll be like, Marcus, come play for it. You get up there because all quartet music has the same feel.
Thank you.
Yeah, you get
right
up there and you.
That turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it teaches you to improv. So quartet is what helped me get my improv thing together. So, yeah, gospel, I never knock it like that. It's just, you know.
I would have never thought of pegged you for quartet, though.
Most people wouldn't. But. Hold on, I ain't gonna even name no names, but it's a lot of people that's quartet artists right now that didn't even know about quartet until they hung out with me. I took them around, and now they have records out because I introduced them to that world of quartet. I ain't gonna name no names, but yeah.
Get out of here. Well, the funny thing is, like, being around music, both, you know, with the church, that's mostly where I grew up singing, in the church, and, you know, praise and worship teams and choirs and all of that stuff. I didn't come out singing until maybe 2018, 19, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Actually singing somewhere on a stage, not singing gospel, like, is somebody gonna back me up? Oh no, I'm by myself.
So why? Why can I ask you why?
Why by myself?
No, why you wait till 18 to come out singing something other than gospel?
Truth be told, it was more so the not so much the conviction part, but I was a people pleaser. What would the church people say if they found out that they praise and worship person is singing in clubs
or a dope
or
poet?
Who knew?
Right, you know what I'm saying?
So the stuff that I talked about, I had to get to a place of, I guess, going through pain, going through difficult times where I had to write for therapy.
So that was during the stuff that I read?
Some of that stuff was therapy. And sometimes you can't get it through the church. I had to, you know, do my own soul searching and, like, listen, I got to tell you, dude, you really heard me. But
and we never had this conversation. And I was wondering what was the hold up. You know what I mean? Because reading some of the stuff I thought was so dope. Like, you know what I mean?
It's still there. I mean, I done wrote more since then and actually being more confident in the gift God gave me. Sometimes it is not for the church.
Oh.
It's, you know, like you do. Mm-hmm. It's not always in the four walls.
Well, I'm hated by the church, so it don't matter.
It is. I mean, the gift is not going to be taken away from you.
Oh, no.
And like I said, when you listen to Kelly Price or Faith Evans and all of them talk about how they started there
mm-hmm.
in the church,
mm-hmm.
but they had another assignment,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I look like at that, I'm like, man, I just want to get out here. When I got on stage.
No feeling like it.
And it was like, nobody knows me personally. So it's nothing that you can say to be like, yeah, you suck or anything. It's like, nah, this is where I'm at. All I could do is get better.
Right.
So, yeah, writing was therapy for me. And it's still therapy.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
I'm working with my husband now.
Okay. He do music too?
Yes.
Oh, that's dope. Hold on. My brother Bears, hold on. He said, I think the church hold a lot of people back from their purpose. How could you hold a Stevie Wonder back from the entire world? That's good.
Yeah, that's true. And it's so many people that you hear them. Like, I look at LeAndre Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
If she wanted to,
mm-hmm.
she could kill R&B up and down. But, you know, her voice is church.
But the listen,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know if we got enough time for that on this show today. We may have to do another show. Because at the end of the day, I'm so done with titles and placements as far as what I need to be for the world. And LeAndre Johnson sing gospel, and she need, like, if LeAndre, she actually, I like LeAndre. Because if she want to smoke a cigarette, she smoke a cigarette.
Her.
If she want to drink some cognac, she drink some cognac. The problem with the world and everybody, I don't care who you know, nobody is saved and sanctified all the time. And the problem is when somebody's thing is on blast, everybody got the right to say something. But I say this thing all the time. If you walked in the room and your heart shined on the wall, will people even allow you in that room? Because 9 times out of 10, our hearts is black as hell. Like, you know what I mean? Even our thoughts are terrible. When you walk in the room, whether it's a girl with a sign or you want to smash or whatever, you married the whole nine, if your thought just popped up on the wall, this world would be, everybody would be cool and be good. But the thing is, because LeAndre get on TV or get on live and we could judge her, but you may be even watching that live in the bed with somebody you ain't got no business being in the bed with.
Right. You better talk.
But you could point the finger, you know what I mean, and at her because you watching her. And that's what's so whack. So when people, even they come to me like, are you a gospel producer? No, I'm a producer. I produce records.
Right.
I don't care who it is for or what genre or whatever. Because my mother, when I was young, when I first wanted to do R&B, I had a conversation with my mother. She said, son, I don't care what you do. I love you. Just keep your integrity. Well, my mother gave me the green light. Man, my pastor could have came and said, you're wrong. I'd have been like, and you can get out my house, sir. My mother told me I was good. You know what I mean? So
yeah. That's important, too. Like, especially when you're young and you grow up in a church, it's like, they put these blinders on, like, there is no other part of the world. There is no other part of music. If you listen to anything other than gospel, you're going to
that's
hell.
That's anything.
If you do this and that, you're going to hell. Like,
that's
how you know?
That's anything. Even in your writing. Listen, not just music. Just think about this. The world is so big and created by God, but there's only one book that they tell you need to read to get to heaven. So think about the whole rest of the world that you're shut off to. Because really, it ain't much to being a Christian or being somebody that go to church. Nigga, get up on Sunday, go to church, go to Bible class, get up Wednesday, go to Bible class, go to church. It ain't that much to it. Like, so what do you do with the rest of the world? You 95% of the other time, you judging everybody that don't do what you do. Like, your dope, you listen, your writings, because you were going through, you're going through it and being convicted about, what if there was a young lady that needed to hear what you wrote one day, but you don't want to put it out because of what other people say?
Well, that's why I'm not there no more when it comes to really saying and what's in your heart. Like, my biggest argument used to be, well, I don't know nobody that was, you know, making love to Mahalia Jackson.
No. I wouldn't stop if Mahalia came on,
I don't
though.
Know nobody.
Never mind.
So, therefore, you know, this music, it is mood music. That's what it is. So, whatever mood I'm in, I want to listen to those words. I want to feel,
yeah.
You know, some of these artists actually speak to my heart, like PJ or Liette.
Mm-hmm.
She can sing the ABCs, and I'm up here boo-hooing because the girl can tear the song up.
Yeah.
There's so many artists like that that it doesn't matter what they're singing. I just want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it comes to music without words, if you know what you're doing, then you speak my heartstrings. And so the writing, the singing. Matter of fact, me and my husband working on a song about missing our dad.
Oh wow!
Like. Our dads wasn't just our fathers in our home. They were the fathers in the neighborhood that took, you know, Susie Q over across the street to school, make sure they had stuff, make sure they had Christmas,
mm-hmm.
just like we did. So where's those fathers at? Where's, you know what I'm saying? And writing, sometimes people don't understand creativities are avenues to cope with death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, issues that you're going through. I can say honestly, within the last 2 years, even though we're going on 5 years that my dad has been passed, I felt like now I finally turned the corner. I don't care. My dad was dealing with kidney failure for 18 years. The last 4 years, he had no kidneys at all.
Wow.
Yes, I knew he was sick. Yes, that I knew eventually the time would come. But you're never prepared for death.
Nope.
Never. So when my dad was my best friend who actually encouraged me to write, that was my coping mechanism to go back to what I knew to get this out of my heart. Yes, I'm in pain. Yes, I'm struggling. And then on top of other stuff, you know, dealing with the sexuality of things, dealing with adultery. Oh, listen here.
Wow.
If I could write a book, which I will, music helped me, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, people have no idea. You think the people that you around, you don't know their stories until you sit down and talk to them, or they have platforms like this
mm-hmm.
where they can actually let their hair down, stop judging. Man, you have no idea. None. So being at a platform, being able to talk to a Marcus Divine who always has his doors open to listen to not just about music, but just life in general. Like we talked about the conversation, like this hypocritical life that some of us have lived
mm-hmm.
going through, being in church, know you struggling with your sexuality. And yet and still you want to sing, yet and still you want to be on the keyboard, you want to do all of these things, but you're not being honest with yourself.
I knew we would get to that conversation because I have a different thought on it. Now, mind you, let me say this. I'll be honest with anybody. I ain't down with the homosexual stuff. I'm about to cuss. I ain't down with the homosexual stuff. You know what I mean? That ain't, I'm never going to embrace it. I'm not a part of the new world where everybody like, well, love is love, and I'm not. That's just me. For me, it's counteractive. I feel I'm a god, and the gods create. If you're not creating, I think you're wasting time. You know what I mean? So that's just my take on it. But when you go to a spiritual, when you go to a spiritual side of it, or a religious side of it, I think the church, when they go, you're fake because you're up here living this way. Everything that people are doing in front of you is in that book that you read every Sunday that they quote from. They really just playing characters out of that book. They line up with the characters in that book. It's just not taught. It's not talked about. And I think we focus on the wrong thing. We ridicule. We bash. My thing is sometimes it's an explanation to somebody. It'll be like, do you understand? You will not grow the world. You will not extend your family by you sleeping with a dude or you two chicks sleeping together. You will not grow the family. To me, that's my number one with it. Forget all the other stuff. Because people are like, it's love. No, it ain't natural. It's natural for me and you to get together, have a baby. That's natural. But me and a dude, that's just us fulfilling something that we want to get out of us. That's how I look at it. But I still stay out of other. You do you, like my homie, Daryl Walls, and all whoever, what's it like, Keelante, like, that's their thing. If they want to sing for God, I don't know why they want to sing for God. Because he the one who said it's an abomination. That's the one thing I don't understand about homosexual people. They want to run to the church. They want to run to the place that calls it an abomination. I'm like, go somewhere where you could be free. Go somewhere, create your own world, your own religion. Where's the gay religion that says it's okay to be gay? But they'll rather go to church and be up under this thing that says it's an abomination. I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to just be a killer, I'm not going to go to church where every Sunday I got to hear this man say, murdering is a sin. You're going to burn in hell for murder. You're going to die for murder. The wages of sin is death. You kill it. I ain't going to go to church and keep hearing you tell me that. I'm not going to fight to be on the praise team to keep hearing you ridicule me. So I don't, mm-hmm. it's something that they got to deal with within themselves. You right. can never hurt a person that's torn more than they already hurt themselves.
It's basically it's a decision. Now, some people use certain things that happen to them in their life as the crutch or why they keep going back. But it's really a pattern.
Oh, definitely.
It's something is triggering that you're not dealing with that causes you to do certain things, period.
Yeah. And then it's another thing, like people don't understand. If you've been molested from the age of 5 years old up until I think that's what he said, from 5 to 12 years old. This is going to sound funny, but I'm not, this is no way funny. You're in a relationship at that point. So whatever role you need to take on to be in that relationship, that's where you're not telling, something has to trigger in your mind to be like, this is my role in this situation. You know what I mean? So when we look at people without a heart of sympathy and a heart of understanding somebody that was taken advantage of when they wasn't able to take care of themselves. Now, if you 17 and 18 and you get off into something like that, that's on you. But a five-year-old that's being molested by somebody, first of all, 9 times out of 10, that they trust.
Trust, yeah.
The sexual part, we'll deal with that. But can you imagine being taken advantage of somebody that you look to protect you? You got to get over that part first. And now you're in a relationship. Because you can call it molestation, but if it's a 7-8 year period of you going through something, you're literally in a relationship. And that's what, to you, that's what a relationship look like. It's like saying, if you 5 years old and every time I see you, I slap you. But 5 minutes later, I come back and give you some money and a hug and be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to slap you. I'm sorry. But then the next time I see you, pow. Oh, my fault. Here's some money. give me a hug. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to slap you. And I continue to do that every time I see you. You know what you'll do after 2 years of that? When I walk in the door, you'll bring your face to me like this.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare for the slap.
Ready for it.
Because I've conditioned you to be like that. So when you look at somebody that's been molested from the age of 5 to 12 or 13 years old, that do become normal to them.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about people in the church, and I go hard at church. If everybody know me, if you ever follow me, I go hard on church. But one thing I will say about church, you can't read the book without at least going, something ain't right. You know what I mean? I will give it that. Even though I don't agree with a whole lot of it, I will give you the thing. That's what, like Delonte was saying, you singing to people crying about a God that you don't even feel. So something in you is going to click and go, okay, I got to do something. I got to figure out something. This can't be right. When you start to see other stuff that don't line up to the dude that's slapping you, when you start seeing he ain't slapping the dude next to you, some start going, okay, why the hell do you think he keeps slapping me then? So something in your mind start triggering where it ain't right. So we just got to not be so judgmental of the person and try to figure out why.
Why?
You know what I mean?
Why.
And
why.
We live in such a cancer.
That's the part that we got to get to as a people. Like you said, not being judgmental, but also allowing people to share what's going on without you being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't have people around them like
that's
that.
True.
Some people don't have avenues to let it out, and that's why you have people that turn violent, you know, not violent towards people as well as themselves.
I was just about to say something about
some
that
things, huh?
That's funny. I was just about to say that what you just said, that we're so concerned about sin as if we could do something about sin. We get on people about committing a sin and don't understand when you dog people, is the sin as important as suicide? You understand what I'm trying to say? Like, we will definitely ridicule and persecute somebody to the point that they'll kill themselves. Hold on. Because they disobeyed a God that didn't step in and deliver them from the thing in which they was being persecuted for.
That's a whole nother
thing. I know, but I just said, like, that's...
That's
how I view it. If God don't step in and deliver, you shouldn't ridicule.
Well, some things, you know, it takes time to get over.
God can snap his finger. Listen, if God can snap his finger and literally create light, if Moses could hold his staff and split the sea, you mean to tell me God couldn't snap his finger and take the homosexual taste out of somebody's mouth? It don't take God no time. Okay, so what I'm saying is, if you're struggling and you ridicule to the point of suicide, I'm like, it ain't worth it if God ain't stepped in and take it away from you. We put all that on the person. But we didn't create what's sin. We didn't sit up and say that's sin. Nah, that comes from the book. They're supposed to represent God. So me, I say God should step in and deliver people for real.
Yeah, that's the true thing of, you know, when you have true deliverance, then that's the whole thing of you repenting, turning away from it where you don't pick it up no more. And that's the whole thing. We're not truly repenting. We keep
picking
it up.
But how can you, listen, what did I say earlier? If I keep walking in the door, slapping you in your face, are you at a point to you can repent? You don't even know what to repent from. This is normal to you. So that's all I'm saying. Everybody don't know that they need to repent from that thing that they entangled in.
That's true. I get it.
So this is a good conversation. I wish we had two or three hours. So this is a good conversation. I wish we had 2 or 3 hours to chop it up.
I know this is, I'm going to bring you on again.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Kalante or Daryl,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what we feel is right or wrong, you know, it's just our opinion. At the end of the day, Kalante is, I think when he was introduced to us was on a YouTube video of him singing in the cafeteria at school. And then he blew up. And for him to expose that, this is the part that got me like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, amen. For you to get to a point where you realize that, yes, this something was wrong with this. Like he said, it was, I'm singing, I'm anointed to do these things. I'm up here in all these different churches. And yet and still I'm broken. I've been molested from a dude from I'm 5 to 12 years old. One day, you know, I'm older, 17 years old. One day, just to satisfy the flesh, I'm in the bed with a dude. The next day, I'm in the bed with a girl. And then you're going back and forth of, like he said, the truth be told, eventually your body likes this. That's the scary part that we don't want to talk about, because eventually your flesh loves this.
I said, you were in a relationship. That's what I was saying.
So he says, I eventually one day woke up and was like, God, I know who you are. I need you to draw me close so I can let all of this go. Lord, really, truly deliver me, because if not, then I'm going to still keep doing what I'm doing in a secret. And we all know that secrets do eventually come out one way or another. Your bones gonna come out. So you either say it out loud, or eventually your actions, your body, it tells it all. And so I was commending him about him coming out in the way he did it, because millions of people saw it, because they, you know, it went viral. You know, at one point they probably thought it was gonna be a negative thing of him saying what he said, but believe me, I know for a fact it helps some people be able to, you know, confront what was going on with them in the secret. Believe me, it is true that, you know, you go through life and, you know, you like, hey, I was molested, I was raped, and these are the things that made me promiscuous, because I didn't know how to handle this, especially at a young age. And then you go through like, am I gay? Am I not gay? Do I like girls? Do I like boys? And I'm still in church. I'm still doing this. Do anybody see me? But you really want to be seen. That's the funny thing. Like, call me out. You know, hold my hand. Do something so I can let this go, because it's bothering me. So for them to actually come out and say it and truly be delivered from it, amen, thank you. You help me. You help somebody else. Because most of the time, people don't realize the things that you go through, most of it is not for you. It's for somebody else. Are you strong enough to go through it? You know how many times I wanted to commit suicide? You know how many times I wanted to go through, like, have an identity crisis and thought being married, that was going to change something? Huh?
Wow.
This is where you get the power behind your words, the power behind the music. It's certain things I have to say. It's certain things that I have to hear in music where it frees me. I know it's going to free somebody else. You can't tell me about this stuff when I lived it.
I'll tell you.
So when it comes to being the composer of real life, music helps. Music transcends, you know, our culture, our race, our age, all of that stuff. And music speaks. That's my first love, music. I didn't put this tattoo on me for no reason. So when I hear, you know, I was listening to your video on YouTube about Usher when you did Nice and Slow. 8 years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, if I didn't know that was an Usher song, I thought it was yours. The way you sung it, the way you put the dramatics to it, and all this stuff. This is what we're artists. your artistry should speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, if they don't know, all these people on here like and share, if they don't know who Marcus Devine is, shame on them. Shame on them. Because, like I said, you have toured, you have wrote for many people, both locally and R&B, whatever. And your craft is one of a kind. One of a kind.
Thank you.
And I have to commend you for that. I was very excited that you took the call and was like, yeah, that's dope. I think, you know, like I said, put your IG information in here, your Facebook information, how to buy your glasses, if they need studio time, whatever, because you are another person that people need to know. Like, it has, your name has to be a household name, like, seriously, especially if you're from Detroit.
Appreciate that, sis.
I mean it.
I appreciate that.
So do you have any other music people you working with right now?
Right now I'm finishing up Beth, you know Beth. You know Beth from Detroit, Beth Griffiths. Beth Griffiths Manley. I'm doing her album right now. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing the echo?
I just did.
Hold on. Facebook got to get this together, man.
It just started doing it.
Yeah, this is terrible. All I did was plug my charger up. My phone was about to die, and it just started echoing.
I don't hear it now. Okay. Think.
But yeah, working on Beth Griffiths Manley new project. She go by the name Beth. Actually, I have an EP coming out New Year's Day. It's called Contagious. And it's in the spirit of COVID-19 because of the pandemic. I called it Contagious. Yeah. Oh, but it's going to be Contagious, but it's a love record. It definitely ain't church.
You're so silly.
What you doing that for?
You so silly. But I definitely want you to definitely meet the husband for sure.
Oh no, especially if he's doing music.
Oh yes, he does music. Some of his stuff that he's came up with, it sounds like scores to a movie. Like he has some of them that sounds like soundtrack music.
Well, he put some music in your stuff yet?
That I'm working on, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Who would have known that the guy, like I said, the guy was my neighbor, and he was into rap back then.
Wow.
Like he was one of those guys I knew would make it out of my neighborhood, even though I wouldn't say my neighborhood was that bad.
I know you
mean. He could draw, he could do some of everything. He was that it guy, like, oh, he was fine. Ooh. Jesus. And he's still fine. So for, you know, we both went through our situation, like, this is my second marriage. This is the second and the only one. I'm done.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I'm done. So for God to bring him back and come to find out he liked me then too, it's like, you got to be kidding me. So, and it's night and day. When I say, when you hear, and I'm sure you like that with your wife, like, the man speaks my love languages without me even teaching him about my love languages.
Nah, that's dope.
He was doing that from day one.
Huh? I said, that's dope because everybody don't even understand that.
It's affirmations after one after another. You wake up, you go to bed too. I love you several times during the day. You're a beautiful queen. You're my life. You're my world. I'm like, it's for real. And this is him. And it's been like that even in the dating stage.
Wow.
So it's like I get my flowers, I get the pot, I get the water, I get the food, I get everything. I don't have to want for nothing. And it's just amazing. So just right there, that's more material for you to write. It's more, the therapy, the love itself is therapy by itself, but then to put it on paper and to sing the notes that comes out of your heart after you think, just think. I know you probably got some music that you just thought about, just, oh, that's my wife right
Oh
there.
yeah. Well, I got some
So
records.
I know what you exactly. So, and I seen on the video you sung to your wife. Guess what? At the wedding, I sung to my husband too.
Well, yeah,
Yes.
mine definitely wasn't gospel though. I
I sung Ribbon in the
mine
Sky.
wasn't gospel. I sung Mary the Cookie at my wedding.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah. No, I everybody went crazy though. Hey,
I'm sure.
but sis, listen, I appreciate you having me though on everything. And let me say this before I go. We've actually talked, you know what I mean, during your other situation. The energy that's on you now is so dope, man.
That's
It's
what's
so
up.
dope. So I'm happy to see you in that energy.
You ain't seen nothing yet,
All right.
but thanks.
All right.
But thanks. We will talk offline about getting this music out here next year for sure.
Right, let's do it. You already know.
Because I ain't playing no games.
Okay.
Huh?
So you already know. Let's go.
I ain't playing no games. I'm holding them down.
Okay.
So again, people, like and share. Thank you, Marcus Devine, for taking the time out to talk to
You're
me.
welcome.
And we will get together again.